I thought I'd talk about the space station because this is a study we did at SRI, and I thought it might indicate some directions in which Australian industry might go, which I think are pretty important, and perhaps if we don't go those directions, that may be to our disadvantage. So let me sort of give you the history of this particular study. I mean, it's only indirectly relevant to what I'm going to say is not going to be exactly relevant to computer-aided design or computer-aided manufacturing, but you should see when I talk, you should see the implications for what you're doing. It all began in 1984 when President Reagan, in his State of the Union message, decided to develop a permanently manned space station within a decade. And for NASA, this was pretty important. For NASA, it meant that they would establish people permanently in space. It would mean that they were in space more or less all the time. That it would become more and more routine. They would see that for NASA, it meant that space was exploiting both, not just going on pure unmanned missions, but would be exploiting some of the things that actually are pretty important. In NASA's history, a lot of the really critical developments happened when men were in space and actually saw things, for example, when looking through a telescope at the Earth, that you would have been difficult to do had you just had a machine there. So NASA strongly believes in both man and machine being important in space. So for NASA, actually, this was a reasonably important thing to have. Interestingly, everyone else advised Reagan not to go with a space station. The Defense Department was strongly against it. Most scientific groups were strongly against it, especially the scientific space groups, because they saw most of their interest in unmanned missions to outer planets. Budget was against the idea of a space station. So in fact, everyone advised, except NASA, who had an obvious vested interest, advised Reagan not to go with a space station. A sort of interesting insight into his ideological commitment, that he just is sort of not a democratic man. He decides on something, and no matter what the advice, he'll go with it. And I mean, in this particular case, at least, it was probably good. So, having decided to go with the space station, there were some initial designs of the space station. Were the idea was that the space shuttle, of course, would be the vehicle that came up from Earth, connected with the space station, transferred people, fuel, payloads around the space station. However, Congress wasn't so happy with the idea of the space station. And in fact, as the head of the Appropriations Committee told a number of us on a conference telephone call, they said that Congress wasn't interested in establishing a hotel in the sky for NASA and its tin pot cronies. Tin pot cronies being Boeing and Martin Marietta and all the other people sitting around the table with it. So NASA decided that they would establish a technology committee to actually have a look at the space station and force NASA to invest 10% of their development costs in advanced automation. And in the past, NASA hasn't done this. In the past, NASA's always done as little automation as possible. And when you speak to Congress, those people there say it's because NASA's not forward-thinking, they're very conservative engineers. When you speak to NASA, they say they've always been so short of money that they've never had the opportunity to invest in automation. I don't know where the truth lies, but the same argument still goes on, and NASA claim that they won't be able to do this, although now that Congress has mandated, I guess they have little choice. Okay, so Congress decided that that's what NASA should set up, this automation technology panel. But the aim was, I mean, this hotel in the sky idea was really saying, you know, we don't just want people in space. There has to be some spin-offs for Earth. And so part of the mandate was that whatever the, you know, if NASA invests in this automation technology, by doing so, it'll have really significant spin-offs for Earth. And that was where we got involved. We were chosen to do the technology study along with some various companies such as Boeing, Martin Marietta and Hughes and other companies who would actually give us scenarios of what would go on the space station, and we were meant to say, okay, how can this be automated? So the sort of things that a space station was required to do were these sort of the things with the arrows are in fact things we looked at more closely, like servicing satellites and free flying platforms, looking at the manufacturing of things in space and seeing how that could be automated, looking at assembly of space structures, and looking at other subsystems. The initial design of the space station, still a long way from AI, the initial design of the space station, I think that's pretty much been decided on, is something like this, at the side and front view, and it's about 400 feet in either direction. There are more, a view which you can see probably better, as that's what it should look like, and this is the shuttle docked with it at some point. It's meant to carry about 8 or 10 people at a time. And in fact, the space station is really just a part of a much larger system. So the idea is that one has all these ground stations here with various users of the space station, universities and industry. You have satellites that may be being serviced. You have the shuttle coming up and down, bringing supplies, other materials, and astronauts. These are communication satellites. OMVs are orbital maneuvering vehicles. They stay in the vicinity of the space station. They run out to local satellites and pick them up and maybe service them or bring them back to the space station. Orbital transfer vehicles actually go much higher, for example, from one orbit to another, from low Earth orbit, where the space station will be, to high Earth orbit or geosynchronous orbit, where most of the interesting satellites are. One of the problems is that most of the interesting satellites need to be in geosynchronous orbit, which happens to be so high that it gets heavy radiation in the radiation belts. Whereas if people are going to live on this, we have to have it down in low Earth orbit. So a lot of the satellite servicing will have to actually transfer from the space station up to the higher orbit. So there's actually a lot of traffic around the space station. Sort of things that the space station is meant to be doing is quite a lot of things. I don't know whether you can see from this. But there's a whole lot of manufacturing of pharmaceuticals, biological materials, semiconductor materials and things like that. A big part will be satellite servicing and repair, so that we'll be taking existing satellites, fixing them up, cleaning them maybe, reboosting them back into proper orbit. Then there'll be a number of experiments which require, for example, low gravity or microgravity, etc. Okay. The way the functional, the space station, the way it's actually set up functionally is somewhat like this. We have most of the living quarters, things that are actually running the space station, the major laboratories will be set as a base. You have to have a number of things actually tethered to the space station rather than directly part of it. For example, the Micro-G, the Earth Observatory, and I don't know what ASTRO is, maybe that's another telescope. The problem with these things is they can't be attached directly to the space station, because every time, for example, the shuttle docks, it's going to put a big flaw in whatever crystals are growing. So it's critical that these things, that where you're trying to develop perfect crystals, that you don't have even the tiniest bump is going to ruin the whole thing. So it's So these things have to be tethered off to one side, and you have to either get to them by orbital, by either going outside EVA, by orbital maneuvering vehicle, or this orbital transfer vehicle that happens to be in deep space. So that's the space station. And as I said, this was the particular study that SRI was to do, and we're involved as being the technology team, and these were the other companies that were actually coming up with the concepts that we had to look at. The various concepts in particular were, as I mentioned before, was space manufacturing. Hughes was meant to look at ground support and subsystems. I don't know whether they quite did it or not. Martin Marietta were meant to look at autonomous systems and assembly, and I think they did that part of it. TRW looked at servicing of satellites, and Boeing looked at man-machine interactions. Now, the idea was that by increasing this, the amount of automation on the space station, the amount of advanced automation, that the space station would get these sort of advantages. And I guess really for Congress the main thing was that these advantages would have a spin-off for Earth. If they just built the space station alone, there would have been very little spin-off for anything that was going on Earth. So but for the space station itself, it gave all these sort of things. So, I mean, it's very unsafe and very time-consuming for astronauts to go out to put on their suits and go outside and fix a satellite and then come back in and take off their suits again. In fact, it takes a couple of hours each time just putting on your suit and then getting out, and then another couple of hours to take your suit off. So it's extremely time-consuming. The other thing is that most of the astronauts spend all their time, it's a pity I didn't actually bring it up, but they have the astronauts take up volumes this thick of what are called malfunction handling procedures. This is on the shuttle. And each time on the shuttle they have about 20 or 30 bolts of flight, and the astronauts spend all their time flicking through these pages and reading out what to do in the case of this particular fault, and at the same time 200 to 300 mission controllers on the ground are doing the same thing. And this enormous investment is in diagnosing faults, making the system safe, and then they flick a switch here and open a valve here. So if all that could be automated, that would be an enormous amount of time that the astronauts would have available. Plus, of course, as you automate, you extend the mission capabilities. You can do things in radiation belts that you can't do because with men alone, because men aren't going to survive very long in that environment. Okay, let me just sort of go through some, and I'll go through these rather quickly. Some of the things that would be required on a space station. Because I think you'll see that most of these things actually are required in different areas of industry on Earth as well. Now, Boeing was looking at the man-machine interface, and for the space station, things like what they call heads-up displays are very important. That means on the visor of the astronaut, they would actually, instead of just seeing through the visor to seeing the whatever they're looking at, there is also some display of information, such as what you'd see on a terminal, would appear on his visor in one corner or up the top, and he'd see through that to the image that he was looking at. So it would give him information, for example, on what to do. I mean, one of the very difficult problems for astronauts currently is when they go out to service a satellite, they have to, because they can't take the maintenance book with them, they have to remember everything, exactly what to do before they go out, because once they're out there, it's very time consuming to keep having to ask someone back at the station what they have to do next. So the idea of a heads up display would be to tell what enable them to be able to read off the top what to do next, etc. I guess that sort of thing doesn't have much application in industry. It probably does for the military, for Air Force pilots. Voice recognition and synthesis is very important. The astronauts want to communicate by voice and not, and again, this is particularly in EVA, you can't take out a terminal with you, etc. So you need to be able to talk to the computer rather, or talk to whatever's advising you rather than typing something in. Task planning is very important. The astronauts have a lot of tasks to do, usually, you know, servicing experiments or doing this, this and that. And trying to schedule all that and get it done in a reasonable amount of time and to make sure that, you know, you haven't turned all these experiments on and now you've consumed so much power that you can't turn some other experiment on that's critical, is very difficult work. And a lot of time on the ground is spent in doing that task planning. Now, for the shuttle, that's fine. You might spend a month on the ground working out how you integrate the task, but it's not going to be suitable if you've got a continually revolving space station that needs this task planning to go on all the time. So any research in this area, of course, has a whole lot of implications for factory management and things.